Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's June the 12th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. In agricultural news, we'll hear from Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. He's urging American farmers and ranchers to hang together on the ethanol issue and not to let $4 corn divide and conquer them. Speaking of $4 corn, yesterday's crop progress report dampened the market enthusiasm. It showed a continuation of the best start to the corn crop ever. We'll hear complete details from the statisticians in the five top corn-growing states of the nation in order: Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, Minnesota, and, of course, Indiana. Oh, and don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us, won't you, for this Tuesday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. July wheat at $5.65, 9 cents higher. The September at 580 and a quarter, up 8.5. And December futures in the wheat pit for soft red at 593.5, we're up 9.75. Losses in the corn pit. July contract at 393.5, down 2.5. September down 2.5 cents at 402.5. And December contract 405.5. They were off a half of the day. July soybean futures down 3.5 cents at $8.26.5. August contract 834.25, down 3.75. In November, soybeans were down 3.25 at 860.25 for the day. July bean meal futures at $229.20 were down a dollar even. July bean oil at $35.27. They were down 0.15 of the day. Feeder cattle over at the Mercantile Exchange finished the August contract 57.5 cents higher at $108.12.5 a hundredweight. June live cattle at $90.45 were down 20 cents, and the August contract was up 30 cents at $90.30. June lean hogs 35 higher at $73.25. From the outside markets, crude oil trading the July now at $65.30 a barrel. They're down 67 cents in the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 13,374, down just about 50 points at this hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Good Tuesday afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about yesterday's crop progress report and how it impacted the marketplace.
Well, I think that the majority of us that are east of the Mississippi, we're looking for maybe a 2 to 3% decrease in the crop ratings, and we only got one. And fact of the matter, we saw Ohio stay steady for the week, Illinois not taking the big plunge, and we just thought that maybe in some of our dry areas that that might show up a little more in the crop ratings. Along with that, if the crop is rated as high as it's rated in both the corn and the beans, speculator and some of the other people today were willing to take profits on the big move up yesterday, and today with a little bit of urging from the crop report as it was, I think we saw some of the commission houses and they're selling, and the lows of the day hit by stop losses that some of the locals took out.
It seems to me that given all of this, that the marketplace ran up and down a little bit of volatility, taking some profits and trying to run people out of the market, still held pretty steady, and probably looking at the weather forecast that really are saying over the next week and a half to 2 weeks, that's not much rain in the forecast, certainly none in the forecast for the Midwest through the end of the week.
No, Todd, I mean, as we look at most all the forecasts, we've got the Omega high in setting in here at least through Sunday for the east of the Mississippi. Then it depends on which weather forecast, so it's American or European that we look at, that does bring a quarter to three quarters of an inch of rain possibly across the eastern belt next week. Some varying whether it comes in Monday or Wednesday through that time period, and then depending on where the ridge reestablishes itself, as it generally does this time of year. We started out And I think that one noted forecaster made the comment that we use an inch and a half of water out of the ground every week when we're over 85 degrees. And basically, if we only put back in a quarter to three quarters next week, and it's been 2 weeks since we've had any rain, that still leaves us moisture deficit most of the Eastern Belt.
What's your feeling about the marketplace over the next week? Will weather drive prices higher, and how much so?
Well, I think it's going to depend on basically what we do see, what coverage of rain we do have, Todd. And if we would happen to miss the rains next week, or they would be a quarter of an inch or less over the majority of the Eastern Corn Belt, you know, we do have quite a fiery market here. It does seem to, we saw Sunday night's activity early before the bean, or for the palm oil sold off, how enthusiastic we got with everything that way. And so, I mean, if we would remain dry and the forecasts don't show a lot going on, why, you know, we could pop this market another 20 cents. Now, in the retrospect of that, if we were to see the moisture increase and fairly decent coverages, we are seeing the night temperatures go down under 70 in most cases, and that does give the plant a little bit of time to ease up and carry on a little bit. So if we could get some decent rains next week, why, this crop hasn't capitulated yet.
So we're in the midst of a time frame where we just need to watch and keep vigilant on the weather and on the crops and what we've been doing on our marketing. Most of the producers, I suspect, have pretty good coverage on their federal crop coverage and insurance. Is there anything they need to be doing in the marketplace other than sitting back and watching things grow?
Well, I think that it depends on what level they're at marketing, Todd. You know, even as we are very friendly this, I think if the guys read your weekly newsletter last week, we saw how very seldom that corn is over $4. You know, over the past years. We're looking at that one chart that you guys put out, and that was very, I think, very insightful on whether it's yours or Dave's idea, but it was very insightful to show all of our listeners how very seldom we do go over $4, which I think was only the 1 year. So that's why, and why you're looking at the idea of corn over $4, beans over $8, being very good opportunities if you aren't along to a certain level as to, you know, consider selling some more. We do know that one of the advisory services today did move and sell some of the December wheat over $6. Had some orders sitting in there to sell quite a bit, feeling that over the long haul that $6 is an awful good price for wheat also.
Indeed. Well, you have to go back and back that up for me. I did not catch that for some reason. December wheat was over $6?
No. I hit 601 today.
Did it? Oh, indeed, it did hit 601. I missed that. I don't know how I dropped that one out of there. So $6 December wheat. I bet there should be a lot of folks that might be wanting to pull the trigger on their soft red winter wheat for a December delivery.
It's very tempting at that level, that's for sure. So, you know, like I say, we feel that, you know, even if we feel that this market has a lot of legs underneath it, if we have some continued weather problems that... we also don't want to get too greedy in some of these things. And so, you know, some orderly marketing is in order at these upper levels.
Wayne, we appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. By the way, as of today, $361,700 have been raised. To reach our fundraising goal, that means the gas gauge reads now 83% full. You can help power the engine so WILL can bring you a full year of programs and services. Please call 217-244-9455. That's 217-244-9455 with your contribution today. And pledge your financial support to the programming that brings you agricultural programming 6 days a week, right here on WILL AM 580. The weather forecast from our own Mike Sola says tonight, mostly clear skies across the two-state region. Lows will range from 56 in northern Illinois to 64 in the south-central part of Illinois. Tomorrow, sunny. Highs will range around 80 near Lake Michigan to about 90 in the various locations. The extended forecast, rain-free weather will continue into the weekend for Illinois and Indiana, with moisture shortages already in place for eastern Illinois and much of Indiana. The situation will deteriorate before early next week. Just one news story for the day. The Senate is working on comprehensive energy legislation. Iowa GOP Senator Chuck Grassley says the Finance Committee hopes to have energy tax provisions to join with that measure early next week. Grassley, the ranking member of the committee, was chairman when the Energy Policy Act of 2005 moved through the Senate. He says that bill was an historic move on renewable energy tax incentives. And this year, he says the goal is to extend those alternative energy conservation incentives that promote homegrown fuels, among other things.
We're also looking to expand the cellulosic ethanol provisions and include a study on ethanol pipelines. On top of the tax provisions, I'm going to be offering a renewable energy amendment that states the goal of the United States to get 25% of our nation's energy needs from renewable homegrown resources by 2025. I'm also considering amendments to further promote the use of biodiesel and to promote E85 infrastructure.
Grassley says the Senate will likely continue work on the measure for the next couple of weeks, but some are hoping senators will take even longer to consider the measure and its potential implications. Livestock groups have expressed concern with the energy package, especially plans to boost the renewable fuel standard. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association says cattle producers need a balanced, market-driven approach that provides a fair and level playing field when purchasing grain. And a coalition of trade associations and businesses that represent the whole spectrum of the food sector say new mandates could significantly impact the industry's ability to produce competitive and affordable food. But according to Grassley, the approach used in the energy bill currently before the Senate is one of common sense.
It's a very slow phase-in. During that very slow phase-in over multitudes of years, we're going to get the marketplace solving the problem based upon scientists telling us 3 to 5 years to get the enzymes to break down the cellulosic feedstock for cellulosic ethanol. And then at that point, the marketplace takes care of the problems that are being raised by livestock producers today.
Grassley says the bottom line is the U.S. needs an expansion of alternative renewable energy, and it cannot all be done with corn and the soybean. That's why he says the nation is headed down a road towards cellulosic ethanol. And he says there's a tremendous amount of material available for that. Grassley says all he would ask is for agriculture to keep that in mind and to remain united on ethanol.
We've been united on ethanol for 25 years. Don't be selfish with one segment of agriculture towards the others. If you didn't have that selfish approach over the last 25 years, why would you have it now? Particularly when you see the successes that we've had, starting out from a business that didn't even exist to a point now where we're a moderating influence on big oil in the marketplace for energy, for transportation, and particularly less dependent upon foreign sources of energy.
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid is hoping to make fast work of the energy bill. He says the most contentious issue is a provision to boost the CAFE, or Corporate Average Fuel Economy, standards. Senator Grassley says it should be a challenge, as lawmakers need to be careful to ensure they do not increase those standards so fast that they put the American auto industry out of business. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of its agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is WILL AM 580. I'm Todd Gleason, urging you to visit our website at WILLAG.org. That's willag.org. While you're there, please sign up for our absolutely free weekend ag newsletter. Well, USDA released its latest update of crop conditions across the nation yesterday. It showed 94% of the winter wheat crop had headed and that 5% had been harvested. That first number is ahead of schedule. The second is lagging a bit behind. It is in about the same condition as last week and a far better wheat crop than last year, with more than half of it said to be in good or excellent condition. Last year, that number for wheat was less than 30%. Speaking of crop conditions, 70% of the nation's soybean crop is reported in good to excellent condition, and the real capper is that 78% of the corn crop remains in those two categories. Now, here's the statisticians from Indiana, Minnesota, Nebraska, Illinois, and Iowa.
This is Joe Prusaki from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending June 10, 2007. Farmers have had a difficult time applying pesticide to cornfields due to windy conditions. The wind has helped dry out hay and allow hay harvesting to continue. Wind has also caused some sandblasting in the field crops. Corn root systems are still shallow, but corn yellowed from excess moisture is beginning to green up. Wide variation is seen in corn stands depending on the planting date. Weather has been good for the livestock. The statewide average precipitation was 0.23 inches, while the normal for the week is 1.23 inches. Temperatures for the week averaged 0.8 degrees below normal. There were 4.8 days suitable for field work compared to 6.0 days last year at this time. Topsoil moisture rate is 7% very short or short, 77% adequate, and 16% surplus across Iowa. Subsoil moisture rated 2% very short or short, 78% adequate, and 20% surplus. The condition of the oak crop is rated 2% very poor, 23% fair, and 75% good or excellent. Oats headed are at 31%, behind last year's 38%, and the five-year average of 37%. The Iowa corn condition is rated 5% very poor, 18% fair, and 78% good or excellent. An estimated 6% of the corn has been or will be replanted. Average corn height is 14 inches in Iowa. Soybean condition is rated 3% very poor, 19% fair, 78% good or excellent. Soybeans are 93% emerged. Roughly 5% of the soybeans have been or will be replanted in Iowa. The first cutting of alfalfa hay at 49% complete is 11 days behind last year's 84% and a five-year average of 59%. All hay condition is rated 11% very poor, 35% fair, and 54% good or excellent. Pasture condition rated 4% very poor, 22% fair, and 74% good or excellent. This has been Joe Prusaki with USDA's Iowa Field Office with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending June 10, 2007.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending June 10th. The chance of rain came and went for many areas across the state last week, with only limited areas receiving any significant rainfall. Severe weather accompanied many of these storms, but little damage was reported. Topsoil moisture levels held fairly steady in northern Illinois, which received the most rain, but decreased greatly across the rest of the state. Last week's heat and dry weather caused corn leaves to roll in the heat of the day and is being credited with uneven emergence in many soybean fields. Statewide, topsoil moisture was rated 12% very short, 39% short, 48% adequate, and 1% surplus. There were 6 days suitable for field work. Corn emergence has reached 100%, which compares to 99% 1 year ago and 96% for the five-year average. Corn height averaged 26 inches compared with 18 inches last year and 16 inches for the five-year average. Overall, the state's corn crop was rated in mostly good to excellent condition. Soybean planting advanced to 96% complete, compared to 94% 1 year ago and 92% for the five-year average. 96% of the soybean fields have emerged compared to 84% 1 year ago and 78% for the five-year average. Overall, the state's soybean crop was rated in fair to mostly good condition. The soft red winter wheat crop continues toward maturity with 68% of the crop turning yellow compared to 81% 1 year ago and 73% for the five-year average. 16% of the fields were reported ripe, compared to 34% last year and 21% for the five-year average. Statewide, the wheat crop was rated in fair to good condition. In other crops around the state, sorghum planting was at 88% complete, well ahead of last year and the five-year averages of 68%. The first cutting of alfalfa was 80% complete, while the second cutting was at 8%. Red clover cutting had reached 83%, and the oat crop had 28% of the heads filled. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Steve Parn reporting Nebraska's weekly crop weather report for the week ending June 10, 2007. Corn conditions rated 86% good or excellent, well above last year's 62% rating. Corn emerge was 99%, even with last year and just ahead of the 98 average. Soybean conditions rated 79% good or excellent, well above last year's 63% condition. Soybeans planted were 97% complete, behind last year's 100 and the 98 average. Soybeans emerge was 80%, behind last year's 95 and 85 average. Wheat conditions rated 60% good or excellent, well above last year's condition of 17%. Harvest is expected to begin in southern counties the third week of June. Alfalfa conditions rated 65% good or excellent, well above last year's 37%. Oat conditions rated 82% good or excellent, well above last year's 24%. Pasture and range conditions rated 75% good or excellent, well above last year's 23%. This has been Steve Parn of the USDA's NASS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office, reporting the crop weather summary for the week ending June 10, 2007. Dry bean and sweet corn plantings neared completion, and crop development continued ahead of the five-year average. Areas in the northwest and west-central parts of the state received an additional inch or more of rain, which added to their already surplus soil moisture supplies. Producers were cutting alfalfa and spraying herbicides where weather and field conditions permitted. The average temperature for the week was 62.8 degrees, 7-tenths of a degree below normal. Statewide, topsoil moisture supplies as of Friday were rated 1% very short, 11% short, 75% adequate, and 13% surplus. As of Sunday, June 10th, the average corn height was estimated at 14 inches, 7 inches taller than the five-year average. Soybeans were 95% emerged with an average height of 5 inches. Spring wheat acreage was 38% jointed compared to 27% for the average. Sweet corn was 84% planted, and dry beans were 95% planted, both slightly ahead of the average. 83% of the field corn and 78% of the soybeans were rated in good or excellent condition. Pastures were rated at 69% in good or excellent condition. That's the weekly crop weather for the week ending June 10, 2007. I'm Doug Hartwig with USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of the USDA NASS Field Office for Indiana, and this is the crop weather report for the week ending June 10th. Spotty rains early in the week, along with windy conditions, have left topsoil moisture short in many areas of the state. Crop conditions are beginning to deteriorate. Corn fields are showing signs of stress, with some leaf rolling reported, caused by the lack of precipitation across many areas of the state. Soybeans have been slow to emerge due to the lack of moisture. Topsoil moisture was rated at 26% very short, 40% short, 33% adequate, and 1% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated 10% very short, 40% short, 49% adequate, and 1% surplus. Precipitation averaged from 0.11 to 1.36 inches. Temperatures averaged from a high of 92 to a low of 41 degrees. For the week ending Friday, 6.3 days were rated as suitable for field work. The condition of the corn crop was rated 61% good to excellent, down 10% from last week, but above the 53% reported last year at this time. 99% of the intended soybean acreage has been planted, compared to 85% for last year and 86% for the five-year average. 93% of the planted soybean acreage has emerged, compared with 70% last year at this time and 71% for the five-year average. By area of the state, 96% of the soybeans have emerged in the north, 95% in the central region, and 83% in southern Indiana. Winter wheat condition is rated at 32% good to excellent, compared with 78% last year at this time. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NASS Field Office.
And I'm Todd Gleason, thanking you for listening to the Information Advantage and the Closing Market Report and the statisticians from Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota, Illinois, and Indiana for their weekly updates of those crop progress reports. In just about 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at what's happening in the world of agricultural weather. Don Day should join us. Up next, your regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. The federal government says two Champaign-Urbana banks must sell 5 branches to resolve antitrust issues related to their merger. First Busey and Main Street Trust announced a proposed merger in the fall, and shareholders approved the deal last winter. Combined, the two banks will have assets of $3.6 billion and $2.7 billion in deposits. The U.S. Department of Justice announced today it's approved the deal, provided the banks sell off five Champaign County sites. Without the sale, the federal government says the merger would have a negative effect on local commercial and retail banking. The merger is expected to be completed in the second quarter. A quarterly survey of Champaign area businesses suggests some hesitation about hiring. Manpower Incorporated survey finds 17% of firms expecting to add new employees between July and September, while 7% expect cutbacks. The rest don't see any adjustment to their payroll. The temporary employment firm says that's a decline from the same period last year and from the previous quarter, in which a third of businesses expected to hire. Doctors have upgraded the condition of a man accused of shooting three Champaign police officers at Westside Park last week. Donnell Clemens is listed in fair condition at Carle Hospital, as is police officer Shannon Bridges. Two other officers were released the day after the shootings. A team of officers from other departments are investigating the incident. The second in command in the Champaign City Manager's Office is leaving for a manager's post in Florida. Paul Berg has been with Champaign for 20 years, 19 of them as assistant city manager. Once Berg leaves next month, City Manager Steve Carter says it'll take about 4 or 5 weeks to search for a replacement. One of the most recognizable features at Monticello's Allerton Park is getting a thorough cleaning. A Chicago preservation firm will remove the Sunsinger statue from its pedestal in the park and remove mold and other residue using a blasting process with dry ice pellets. The sculpture of the Greek god Apollo is nearly 80 years old, and a U of I preservation officer says it's accumulated years of buildup from chemicals and other elements in the atmosphere, as well as vandalism. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL Urbana. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us now to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast across the Midwest and around the globe. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
You know, here in East Central Illinois, it is awfully dry. The corn has been rolling, but other parts of the Midwest seem to be doing fairly well, according to the USDA's crop progress report as of yesterday afternoon.
And there's going to be more rain, especially over the next few days in the western areas. We're going to see some real significant rains. I've already seen some very heavy rain across portions of Nebraska, portions of Colorado, and western Kansas. And it looks like the Dakotas, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, portions of Texas, Minnesota, and Iowa, northwest Missouri will see some significant rainfall here over the next couple of days with quite a bit of showers and storms. There was one area in Nebraska last night in the southwest part of the state that got 8 inches of rain with some thunderstorms last night.
Well, that's no better for the corn crop than it is if you don't get any rain, I don't think. But that's a lot of rain in a short amount of time. Was that pretty local?
It was fairly localized, but near Imperial, Nebraska, where that was at, and they're going to see more rain tonight and tomorrow. So it's one of these situations where the rain is not widespread, but heavy and very focused in smaller areas.
That gives us rainfall in the number 1, 3, and 4 corn-producing states in the nation, but number 2 and number 5, Illinois and Indiana, were not in that mix. Are they going to stay dry?
Stay dry. There's going to be a little bit of activity, especially as we get into the next week. But right now the trend is dry in the central and eastern areas, more wet in the west. And we'll see that continuing probably into early next week.
How much heat along the way?
Well, we are going to be getting warmer. In fact, we're seeing some signs that a more typical summer pattern is going to start to develop, especially next week and beyond. No real super hot spots across the United States, but we are going to see temperatures steady and getting warmer over the next week or two.
Has anything that you've seen developed across the eastern part of the Corn Belt or any other places given you pause to think about weather concerns for the summer?
Well, we may be concerned about some of those eastern areas staying a little bit on the dry side with the high pressure that's going to build like it normally does getting late June and in early July. We're going to have to keep an eye on things and make sure that they don't get shut off from some good moisture supply to feed those afternoon and evening and nighttime thunderstorms. There's a little bit of concern for those central and eastern areas, while I think the western areas will definitely continue to see more moisture.
We'd better check in on the wheat crop here and around the globe, please.
Well, in the harvest continues to be at a pretty good pace, moving further and further north, although they're going to run into some delays in Kansas and Nebraska, and then eventually into Colorado with these heavier rains that are falling. In Europe, getting a little bit wet and a little bit unsettled there as well. Some of the wheat areas of Russia going to be seeing some needed rain here over the next several days.
Don, we appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. If you'd like to hear Don's comments again or something you heard in the futures or the cash grain segments earlier in the week, you can do that right there at WILLAG.org on our website, willag.org. While you're there, remember to sign up for our absolutely free weekend newsletter. You heard Wayne Nelson talk a little bit about that during the futures market earlier in the this program, Closing Market Report. It's at willag.org. You have a great afternoon. On behalf of your Director of Ag Programming, Dave Dickey, I'm Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, bidding you a great afternoon.